having midweek running services at 5:30. And this week there is a potluck at Wolf Farm, so if you'd like to join, certainly are invited.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to speak with me, the introit. When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress.
My God, in whom I trust.
You have made the Lord your dwelling place.
The Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague shall near your tent.
You will tread on the lion and the adder. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard.
The epistle this morning is from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10. together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to speak with me the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and any children that are present may come forward at this time. It was the story we started this year for in Sunday school. Do any of you remember how big Goliath was? The big poster? Was he taller than me? Yeah, he was really tall. Maybe even his head might have hit the balcony, you know, that above the door up to there. I think he'd be about that tall or taller. He was really big. And you think he's probably really strong too? And David, was he that big? No, he wasn't that big. He was probably, you know, about normal size. Kind of like you and I are of normal size. And so how did he defeat Goliath? What did he use to help him defeat Goliath? Did you guys hear what he picked up and put in his bag when the lesson was read this morning? Do you know what it was? What was it that he picked up? He picked up 5 smooth stones. And then he used one of them in order to defeat Goliath. But was the stone the most important thing that he had to help defeat Goliath? Do you think the stone was the most important thing? No, it wasn't the stone that was most important. So what was most important when David defeated Goliath? Do you know it was the faith and the trust he had in God? That was most important. Yes, it was his trust in God, that God would give him the victory, that God was with him, protecting him. That was most important for David, not the stone, but rather his faith in God. Do you have things that you see in this in your life that are important to you? Yeah, we have things that are important. Maybe some of us have, do any of you have a favorite blanket or stuffed animal? Yeah, and they're pretty important to you, right? Sometimes you don't even want to go anyplace without them, do you? I know somebody like that. But even more important than that, you know, is your faith and your trust in God. Because will he ever leave you? No, he won't ever leave you. Will he ever just forget about you?
No.
No, he won't forget you. Does he love you?
Yes,
every day. And so today we remember and we hear, and the story from David reminds us that God is with us and our faith and trust in him is most important. Please pray with me as we pray with our friends that are gathered today.
Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior, and winning the victory over sin and death for me. Help me continue to trust Him, and share my trust with others. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming up, boys and girls. And you, please, may take one treat as you return to your seats and our congregation sings hymn 423. You are here today as we continue to look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as we study the forgiveness that he gives to us and continue in this 40-day forgiving challenge. Last week, we introduced the main ideas of the challenge that, yes, even though Jesus has come to set us free, and that he certainly does, there are often times we may not feel free in our lives, but rather may feel captive to our pasts, bound by our sins. And this last week, as you were studying, you were introduced to the acronym SCARS, which will let us focus on sin, confession, absolution, restoration, and sanctification. Very important aspects of our life. And today we will begin our study in looking at that first word, sin. And each week we'll continue with one word and see how it builds upon the others. First, though, we need to look at how Jesus forgives, specifically how he forgives Peter. So we're going to introduce you to Peter today to look a little more closely at him and how he certainly is more like you and I than like Jesus. Peter, in literary terms, is a foil to Jesus. A foil is the supporter of the main character, but the part that he plays contrasts and even highlights and exalts the qualities of the lead character. And as we see and look at Peter, his life, and we will continue to see how, yes, Jesus looks so much better than Peter, just as Jesus is so much better than you and I are. And we will also see and talk about Peter's epic fail as a disciple. We know a lot about Peter. In fact, some might argue that he is the only other character within the Gospels who is fully, you know, revealed, fully formed as an individual. He's mentioned over 200 times, 5 times more than any other of the 12. Jesus meets him while he is cleaning his nets, and there he gives him a new name. He addresses him, Simon, son of Jonah. But then he immediately does what is a little unexpected. He declares that Simon will now be Cephas, or Peter. And the new name that Jesus gave to Simon, to Peter, it means rock or big boulder. And well, he's given him this name before he's even done anything to earn it. Many times we get the idea that, well, we earn forgiveness by what we do. We're earning God's love by being faithful to him. He will accept us because of what we have done, when, as we've proven ourselves to him. And yet, that is not how God approaches us. It's not that we have to fight for his approval. Rather, he loves each of us because he has made and created us. He already loves you. You don't need to do anything for God to love you. But you may feel that you're not special enough for Jesus to call someone like you. But even Peter didn't do anything of note to receive his new identity. Certainly, he was chosen because he was not chosen because of his place in this world. He's a fisherman. He isn't one of the priests or religious leaders. He's a laborer, common every day. Acts 4, chapter 13 describes Peter as unschooled, an ordinary man. And yet, here we have, through this ordinary, unschooled man, a person who would become Petros, the rock, the right-hand man of Jesus. Before you and I did anything, God has set his sights upon you, and he has given you a new identity. He sees in you a holy child that he loves through baptism. And so you hear today from heaven, before you were born, before you breathed, before you even had the opportunity to show how good you can be or how much you may mess up, God declares that he loves you. You are his, he says. You're mine. I've chosen you. You belong to me. You might say God has issued an announcement from his throne on heaven, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. It's not about your past, where you currently are, or what you're able to do in the future. Rather, God says he loves you. And if God has chosen you while totally knowing your past, present, and future, then it certainly isn't anything that you've done just like it wasn't what Peter has done, to receive a new identity, to be chosen by God. And yet, even having been chosen by God, we see how Peter, there are times where he lives up to his new name, the Rock. Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say I am, in Matthew chapter 16? And well, there's a number of answers that the people are commonly claiming. But Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. To that, Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. How exciting that must have been. How encouraging it was for Peter. He's got it right. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and it's been revealed to him by heaven, by God himself. But now let's move ahead a little bit. Peter, the Rock, who at times gets it so right, also gets it so wrong. The night when Jesus is betrayed, the Thursday of Holy Week, at the Last Supper with Jesus, he declares that none of the disciples are going to stay by him. They will continue to leave him, and in fact, one will betray him. But here we have Peter, the bold, the one who is the Rock, saying, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Wow, what the statement he gives. And that's just the statement you might expect Peter the Rock to give. And yet Jesus answers him back, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples say the same thing. Peter says, I'm not going to deny you. And he reaffirms that. And yet, we hear in Scripture just the opposite from Peter. They seize Jesus, they lead him away, and he is at the house of the high priest. Peter follows at a distance, goes to the courtyard. And then a servant girl saw him seated there next to the fire. She looks close at him and says, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. Once. And later on, another approaches and says, you also are one of them. And he says, man, I am not. Twice. And about an hour later, another asserts, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I do not know what you're talking about. The third time, and just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. What an epic failure he must have felt like at that time, weeping bitterly, for he had done what he had said he wouldn't. He had sinned against his Lord, against his friend. That term sin, where does it come from and what does it mean? Well, the best we can understand is it comes from an old archery term meaning to miss the mark. And if the bullseye is the mark, anything outside of it is sin. And so certainly, Peter saying he would not ever betray and then three times denying him, he's missed the mark. He has sinned. But it's not only Peter. We are all sinful. We have all missed the mark in our lives with God and with one another. And the worst thing that you and I can pretend to do is to act like we're perfect. We've always done what we're supposed to. No, we haven't. And that is why we gather to confess just who we are. I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. And if you're like me, you're trying to overcome these sins, these iniquities, and yet doesn't matter how old we are, 5, 18, 35, 50, 80, sin continues to plague us. And we may ask ourselves, why am I continuing to struggle? Sin, something you and I cannot overcome. And so the last thing that we need to do for one another as we gather as a church family in worship is to be fake, to act like we're fully put together when we aren't. We all are tainted with sin. And as we look at scars, one of the first things that we need to get down to is to see who we really are, wounded by sin, and that the ultimate healing only comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not because of how good you are. It's because of our Savior, who lived a life that was perfect in your place. You and I, we sin. When tempted by the devil, when tempted by our sinful nature, we sin. And so the admission price into freedom begins with being able to admit our own sin and look to God, our Heavenly Father, because He loves you who you are, but He doesn't want to leave you just as you are, broken by sin. God has chosen you, not because of your actions and what you have done or will do, but because of His great love for you that He shows through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you failed Him, and you will, He continues to love you. It's what you do after these failures, after your mistakes, after your sins, that makes the difference, whether we move forward or whether we continue to be locked and chained by our past, by our sins that we've committed. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has come to set you free. He has taken and borne your sins and burdens upon the cross so that you would not have to be burdened by them any longer. Any failure is simply an opportunity to fall into the grace of Jesus again. While sin ends many stories in this world, sin may end relationships. God doesn't write stories that end in sin. God doesn't write stories that end badly. No, He will endure that. He will do everything that He can to keep writing a new chapter for you in your life. He continues to look to make you holy. He doesn't leave you in sin. Even Peter, He doesn't leave mourning, lost in sin. We hear how Jesus comes to restore, to bring forgiveness and love to Peter so beautifully and carefully and specifically. We hear after Jesus' resurrection from John chapter 21, these first four words that make all the difference. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again. He met them in the upper room. He declared to them that he was alive. Even Thomas saw him. But yet, that was not the last time. Afterward, Jesus appeared again. Sin should end your story, my story, Peter's story. But we have a God who will just keep appearing. When it appears that your story is over, Jesus will appear again and again and again to you because he loves you and he has forgiven you. We have a God who isn't afraid of sin, a God who isn't afraid of the wounds that we've caused. We have a God who will enter in even if it costs him his own life. And even after giving his life, as if that isn't enough, he will continue to show up to be near you. Today, he comes to you in his very body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Today, he comes to you in his word, just as he continues to come to you and demonstrate his love in the midst of our sins. And he will continue to rescue you. How good is God? Well, here once again. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again. And he appears again to you, time and time, to help you be freed from your sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the congregation to please stand as we continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Almighty Father, you continue to have mercy upon us. And we see that as you have sent your Son to withstand the temptations of the devil in the wilderness. And because of his righteous life, you give us forgiveness in his name. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we continue to seek your mercy upon your church. We ask that we would be helped to withstand sin in our lives, and that the gospel of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may abound and go forth so that others too may know to worship you and serve you alone. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are called Father, and we ask that the fathers and mothers upon earth would show the same love that you have shown to us, your children. Continue to allow them to teach the faith to their households so that all may know the saving love that you have demonstrated through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of all those in need of prayers. For those who are sick, for those who are suffering, for those who are persecuted, grant all of them the strength to continue to endure until that day when there shall be only the joys of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have given your Son, and he comes to us once again in the very body and blood of our Lord in the sacrament of the altar. We ask that all who receive this sacrament do so worthily, that they are assured of their forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these prayers and whatever else we need, we pray to you, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
Amen.
At this time, our offerings are gathered and collected. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This time we continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you did not withhold your only son, but sent him as an offer, his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise, now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.